God's grace is sufficient for me. For me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems the hope is gone, He is high upon His throne, working out the plan He started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, He, the bright and shining light, will be. Worship and proclaim and give glory to His name, for His grace is sufficient for me.
God's grace was sufficient for Elijah as he was standing there upon the mount.
All the prophets of Baal, they began to scream and yell, but their God didn't even make a sound.
Then Elijah prayed through just to see what God would do in the fire.
Flash of light, and Jehovah God was worshipped by all.
God's grace is sufficient for me. For me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems the hope is gone, He is high upon His throne, working out the plan He started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, He, the bright and shining light, will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to His name, for His grace is sufficient for me.
God's grace was sufficient for Jonah as he was sitting in the belly of the well.
Well, Jonah should have died, but the Lord kept him alive so that he would have a story he could tell. Then Jonah prayed through just to see what God would do, and the fish came swimming to the shore. He spittled Jonah out, and when Jonah hit the ground,
he was preaching like he never had before.
God's grace is sufficient for me. For me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems the hope is gone, He is high upon His throne, working out the plan He started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, He, the bright and shining light, will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to His name, for His grace is sufficient for me. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to His name, for His grace is sufficient for me. For me. For me.
Amen. Good job. They were practicing the other day, and I was thinking, we've got a new group of ladies ready to sing. Thank you, ladies, for doing that. I'm sure none of them were nervous at all, right? Thank you. You did a great job. We're going to take our Bibles and get to the preaching time, Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13. It's our school night, but also our missions month. We'll be preaching on these Sunday nights about the subject of missions. Many of our missionaries, when they come on Wednesday nights, will preach on missions as well. And I just want to give an extra challenge and encouragement to our church family about this subject of being involved in worldwide missions, because it is the duty and the purpose of the local New Testament church. Amen? It's the duty of every single Christian. When you find that, would you stand to your feet? I don't want to get to preaching too quick. Let's read the scripture verse before we get to the preaching time. Acts chapter 13, we'll read the first three verses. Would you follow along as I read from the Word of God tonight? Acts 13 and verse number 1. Thank you, young people, for all of you that sang tonight and memorized your verses and did a great job. I think we had a few cameras facing them. I'm sure that helped with the nerves a little bit. That's always fun to watch that, though. We get the back a little bit of that, and we can see on the TV and watch them a bit. Sometimes we find them later, but that's always fun to watch that. And so thank you, teachers, for your investment in our young people. Every day as they prepare and teach our kids, it's a busy place. If you ever come in the school, it's a busy place as they are working with our young people, teaching them. Thank you, parents, for your investment, seeing the need for your kids to have a good and a godly education. And it takes extra work to drive them to school. It takes extra work to pay for their education, to get them involved, keep them in church. We better not separate church from school. They're important. They go together. And a godly Christian school and family that backs it up by your beliefs and attending church as well is very needed. And we need more of that in our country. And so I want to just encourage you and challenge you, parents, to keep up the good fight, keep up the good work in teaching our young people. Thank you for entrusting your young people with us as well. I know that's a huge trust as well. Acts 13, we'll look at this passage here. Acts 13, verse number 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was in at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your help with the message tonight as we look at the subject of missions and our involvement with missions and what is expected of us as a church and as a Christian, that you've challenged us from the Word of God. Bless our night and the message, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at the passage here, this church at Antioch, there was a certain number of men here. The Bible says they've been brought up, and it gives you a whole list here in verse number 13. And the last of the people on there is Ansel. That's the Apostle Paul that we would see that is sent out, and the great missionary that we see from the Word of God. The Bible says here in verse number 2, they ministered to the Lord. They fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." I believe in the calling of God on the lives of people to do the work of God. That God saw two men, Barnabas and Saul, that He called them to be missionaries. As you know, previously to this, that the gospel was preached first to the Jewish people, but now in the book of Acts, it's being sent out around the world to the Gentile people, the non-Jewish people. And God says, I've called Barnabas and Saul. And I believe that God is calling young people's lives. I believe that God is calling adults' lives for God's purpose and for God's will. Do you believe that's still true today, that God is calling people to do His work? God is calling. And He called and said, "I've called Barnabas and I've called Saul for a work that I have them to do." And He said, "I want you to separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And in verse number 3, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They were two men that were in the church there, and they were sent out of a local New Testament church. That's how the work continues, is through a local New Testament church. Amen? The work is not to be done with reaching the gospel of the world through organizations, but through local New Testament churches. Amen? And through Christians that God is called to send out to do His work. I find it a privilege to do the work of God here in Redding, California, but it's also a privilege to send people out to do the work around the world. I'm thankful that there's young people that sit on these same steps, that went to our same school, that they're around the world preaching the gospel, faithful, soul-winning, serving, doing the work of God wherever God has sent them around the world. That's a blessing to be a part of these young people's lives. So we see that these men were sent out around the world. Now God sent out Barnabas and Saul, who would become Paul, and they'd go all around the Mediterranean Sea, and they'd go on their missionary journeys, preaching the gospel in every city. And many times they were not well received. Many times they were sent out with threatenings and slaughter, and they left barely with their lives. Sometimes in prison, sometimes beaten, but they were sent out all around the world, but their goal was to preach the gospel to every creature. The goal and the challenge that they had in that day is this challenge we still have today. They went around and started churches, saw people saved, established a church, established a preacher and a pastor there, and they would go on and they would see people saved and establish churches and see the work of God go on around the world. That's where we get to partner with worldwide missions, that we get to send out missionaries around the world, and we get to be a part of souls being saved in countries and cities that we will never go to, people that we'll never meet, people that have learned a language and learned a culture, and they've started a church to reach people for Christ where we'll never see them, all around the world. What a privilege it is to get to be a part of worldwide missions. But I want to look at this as Paul and Barnabas were sent out around the world. I want to look at some things where the missionaries asked something from the church. Now, you know what one of these things would be. They did ask for financial support. We're not going to cover that tonight as much. We will cover that in the future. Just fair warning for that. But I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. There's something I believe even more important than the financial support that they asked for the church is this, that they asked for the church to pray for them. Church, do you believe in the power of prayer? We get to partner with missionaries around the world by giving. But one of the greatest connections and groups that you have, a way that you can connect with others around the world, is through the avenue of prayer. The avenue of prayer, that in any moment, you can go to God in prayer on the behalf of a missionary, a church, someone around the world, a family member, and pray for them. And the Apostle Paul would ask this from the church a number of times. We'll look at a few of those tonight. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 18, Ephesians 6 and verse number 18, the Apostle Paul says, is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. He's asking for prayer. He says, and for me the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the gospel, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul said, I'm going around the world to preach the gospel, but he says, I ask and I crave and I plead for your prayers. He says, pray that God would give an utterance, the Bible says, an utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly, that God would open doors, that God would open hearts, that God would go before him to do a work in the city where he would go for people to receive the gospel that he's preaching. Paul isn't asking for a casual prayer. He's asking people to fervently pray on his behalf. I've had the privilege of going on a number of mission trips with our teenagers and with Pastor Johnson around the world, and it's been one of the greatest privileges of my life to go on mission trips, to get to meet some of the missionaries that we support around the world. Going on a mission trip will change your perspective on missions completely. I urge you, I challenge you to plan a time to go on a mission trip, maybe forego a big vacation and go on a mission trip. It will change your life, and I know I'm not against a vacation, I'm not against that, but to go and visit a missionary, you say it would be so expensive. You can't tell me that other places in the world aren't expensive to go to on a trip. Go and visit a missionary and see the work. Visit the church, meet the family, see the work that they're doing. We have missionaries, they're some of the most incredible servants in all the world, I believe, are missionaries. I believe that with all my heart. And they're saying, would you please pray for us? Begging and pleading for Christians that we would send them financially, but we would prayerfully go with them. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2 and 3. I want to look at a few verses and give you some application tonight, how we can specifically pray for them. Colossians chapter 4, if you turn there for a moment, and verse number 2. Colossians chapter number 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians chapter 4. And verse number 2, the Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He prays again, similar that he did and asks in the book of Ephesians. And he says to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. To stand side by side with our missionaries that go around the world and they're pleading and asking, would you pray for us? You know that when our missionaries ask for prayer, they're not asking for it casually. They're asking for it, pleading that you would pray for them, that God would do a work through the avenue of prayer, that God would open up a door for them, that they'd preach the gospel. Why would they go around the world? Because they want to live in another culture? Because they'd love to live in a hut? Because they'd love to expose their children to possible dangers and health risks? No, they do that for the souls of people where God has called them around the world. And turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the next book over, actually. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Very short verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. The Apostle Paul would say this to the church at Thessalonica: brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. You can turn there if you'd like to quickly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1 and 2. The next book over, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2. We've seen how Paul has pleaded with the church at Ephesus: would you pray for us? He's pleaded with the church in Colossae: would you pray for us? He's pleaded with the church in Thessalonica: would you pray for us? And in chapter 3 and verse number 1, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We won't continue there, but you continue reading in these passages. He's pleading with the church and saying, would you pray for us? When our missionaries say, would you get my prayer card and pray for us, they mean it. They're not casually saying, so would you pray for our family? Many of our missionaries, they go for 2 to 3 years to go and raise support just to get to the mission field. And many times after that, they'll take a couple of years to learn the language. And then after that, they'll take time to learn a culture and learn the people group of where they're going. And they'll get embedded in that church to be a part of the ministry, to start preaching the gospel. And then once they get there is really where the spiritual battle begins for the souls of men, women, and children, that they'd see the work accomplished of why they went. Most missionaries won't get to the field to the point where they're actually getting to minister and reach people and preach the gospel and be a soul winner many times for 5 to 7 years. And then once they get there is really where the battle begins, spiritually speaking, because many places around the world are so closed to the gospel. If you notice here, as Paul, his prayer was, it wasn't for him personally, was it? What was his prayer for? That God would open the door for them to preach the gospel. You realize that the Apostle Paul had many battles that he faced in his life. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, the Apostle Paul gives an example of some things that he went through on his missionary journeys. And he said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. He says, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So when a missionary says, pray for us, there's a reason they're asking for our prayers. This missions month is not just something to have a decoration, some extra things to do, and have some fellowship time. Those are all great and wonderful to have. But we better be serious about the subject of missions in regards to praying for our missionaries. We currently support 98 missionaries. Thank you for your faithfulness to give to worldwide missions. I wish and pray that we could support every single missionary that calls us and sends us emails, which happens guaranteed every single week. And we have to turn many away and say, we cannot support you right now. We'd love to support them. Many of our missionaries, I pray and wish that we could raise all of their support right now. We can't. We're at the point of praying that God would allow us to have enough just to gain a missionary or two, and pray that we keep our support for them through the next year. That's honestly speaking where we're at right now. But church, not only do we need to give to worldwide missions, but we must pray for our missionaries. We have a prayer list on the information station of all the missionaries we support, minus one that we took on last week, Ms. Demcat, going to Colombia. I want to challenge you, church, to take that prayer letter home, to take that prayer sheet home and earnestly pray for our missionaries. You have no idea what our missionaries are going through around the world. And they are dependent on our support and on our prayers and on our partnering with them as we send them out. We are partners with them in the gospel. You realize that, right? We're not sending them and saying, good luck, we'll see you in a few years when you report back. We'll send you a check so we don't have to be bothered by you anymore. Sometimes I feel like we do that as Americans sometimes. Well, I gave so I don't have to be bothered with this need. I gave them some money so I don't have to. I pray our heart is not that way with missions, that we would give, but we'd pray for them as they go. I want to challenge you to take that prayer sheet, and maybe as you gather around dinner and pray for three of our missionaries a night, three or four, you'd pray for all of our missionaries throughout this month, if you prayed for them every single day. Maybe you take a portion, maybe you can't maybe pray for 98 of them every day. That would take a little bit of your time of your day. That'd be a blessing to do that if you have the time. That'd be wonderful. We have our missionary prayer list on our fridge. Try to go by there and get a name and pray for them. And pray for the missionaries that God has put on my heart for that day. Church, we must partner with others in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, when he saw the multitudes, this is Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then he asked the disciples this one prayer need. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plenteous. There are many places around the world, they are begging for missionaries to come. They are pleading with someone to give them the gospel, to bring them the word of God. They crave for the word of God. Jesus Christ said, pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Yes, we need more laborers in the harvest, don't we, church? We need more laborers in the harvest, but we also need the laborers that are there to stay. I looked at some statistics about the number of missionaries that come back. Some, they come back because of financial problems, some because of health needs, some for different reasons with all. The number one reason missionaries come back for support is because they don't get along with other missionaries. That was sad to hear. I want to give you a few areas, church, where I can encourage you about how we can pray better for our missionaries. We had a missionary come through a number of years ago and challenge us with this thought, and I'm not preaching the same message, but I want to encourage you about some areas how you can pray for our missionaries specifically. It's one thing to say, Lord, please bless Brother Amoros and pray and bless Brother Ledbetter Brother Paez, and we can name our, please bless them, and Brother Rom, all we could, Lord bless them. But let's pray specifically for our missionaries, for the needs that they have. I may not know all the needs, but you could sign up to get our missionary prayer letters and get them emailed to you every month. We get a whole list of prayer letters that come, so you could read more about our missionaries, know better how to pray for them. I encourage you to sign up and do that. You could fill out a card in the seat behind you and put it in the drop box in the church office there, or put in the offering plate. Number one, how can we pray for our missionaries? Pray for their health. Not all, but many of our missionaries are going to places around the world that are third world countries, where they don't have running water but a couple times a week. They don't have electricity but a couple times a month sometimes. Where they have sewage running down in front of their houses. They don't have clean drinking water. They travel to a market on occasion to get food that they can to stock up with. And the health needs that our missionaries face are very real. Many of them will get diseases that they will live with for the rest of their life. The missionary, their spouse, their children. We better pray for our missionaries that God would protect them, that God would protect their health. We've had missionaries that come back due to health needs. I remember Brother Stensis, that he came back for his health needs a few years ago. And in tears, he said, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back to Africa. Pray for the health needs of our missionaries. We have one missionary, Brother Gary Keck. He's our missionary to Papua New Guinea. He was back here for a number of months getting health tests, and I believe they thought he had cancer. He just went back on October the 1st, just a few days ago, going back to Papua New Guinea, still with some health struggles, but going back to do the work that is needed there. We better pray for our missionaries. Many of them don't have sanitary conditions that they live near. Many of them don't have proper health care. Think about that, having a child. Many of them come back to the States or go somewhere to birth their children, to have medical procedures, to get medicine. Please pray for the health needs of our missionaries. Number two, pray for their safety. Many of our missionaries, not all, but many missionaries, they're in harm's way. We have a number of missionaries, some we don't name specifically over the internet, because they're in places where the gospel is closed and they could be in prison or worse. We have missionaries around the world in the Middle East. We have missionaries in foreign countries, and trying to be careful with what to say so I don't get someone in trouble. Don't post things about missionaries that are in closed countries and get them in trouble because the governments are currently looking for them. There is real persecution that goes on around the world right now. It's not like back in the day there was persecuted Christians. No, that's today. I watched a podcast this week about a U.S. missionary that went to South Africa. Maybe you remember the story from this April. He was in South Africa, and while he was up preaching, armed with guns came in the church, came up to the pulpit, and he said, "We thought it might come at some point. Here it is." He looked at his wife, and they hit him over the head. They put a bag on his head. They tied him up to a bed for 6 days, threatened him, his family. Didn't harm him other than that first time, threatened him, and he prayed and prayed and prayed and had faith that God would work. He witnessed with a sheet over his head and with his arms tied up to that bed. He witnessed to those in the room that were watching him. They gave him food, they gave him water, and he preached the gospel to them. He said, "I preached loud enough for everyone to hear about Jesus Christ." And one of the men, he said, made a profession of salvation. And as he prayed there that God would deliver him, and they talked about the ransom they were trying to get, and this was a common practice there, and there was a time where they were going to release him, and they dressed him back in his church clothes. They were going to take him out, and it just so happened to be that as they were leaving and opening the gate to their compound, they were searching for him, didn't know where he was, just happened to be that a police car was turning around in the driveway entrance where they were starting to go out. There was a shootout, his captors were killed, and he was saved alive, unharmed. Brought him back to a place of safety. Many of our missionaries, they face situations like this, or possible situations like this, where they put themselves in harm's way. This family is home, getting some help and getting ready to go back to the mission field to go and reach those same people for the Lord. We better pray for the safety of the missionaries that we get a chance to partner with. Not all are faced with these same challenges, but many are. We better pray for their safety. Pray for, number three, spiritual growth. Pray for spiritual growth. I'm going to switch that. Number three, actually, we pray for souls. Pray for souls. The number one reason why we support a missionary is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not against people building buildings and helping others, and we have some that will support missionaries and in different areas. It's either to start a local New Testament church or help a local New Testament church to preach the gospel or to get the word of God out around the world. That's all the missionaries that we support under those categories, is for souls to be saved. Now, we have some missionaries we support, and they pray, and they will slowly see one person saved. And then months later, see another saved. It may be a long period of time. Others, they see people saved by the hundreds and sometimes even by the thousands. Which one of them is doing more important work for the Lord? They both are. They both are. They're both laboring faithfully preaching the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Our job is to preach the gospel. But it's God's job to draw them in and people to receive the gospel and trust in the Lord for salvation. Pray for souls to be saved. How will we see a spiritual awakening in our country? Souls being saved. Preaching the gospel and seeing souls saved. How will we see an awakening, a spiritual awakening around the world? Is by preaching the gospel and seeing souls saved. I'm not against getting clean drinking water to people and electricity and internet to people that need that. But the most important need this world has is the gospel. The most important need, pray for souls to be saved. When you pray for a missionary, is pray that God would give them boldness and open up that door of utterance to boldly preach the gospel for people to be saved. Number four, pray for spiritual growth, as I mentioned already. Pray for spiritual growth. They're in the trenches helping people that have broken lives. People that have marriages falling apart, kids falling apart, a sin-scarred world that we live in, and they're helping people. They're teaching the Word of God. They're discipling. They're starting churches and ministries to help and lift up those that are fallen, that don't know the Word of God. They're helping broken lives. They're also training future leaders. Our missionaries are training the next generation of leaders in the churches where they currently serve. Many of our missionaries, they have Bible institutes, Bible colleges, where they are training pastors. They are training missionaries. I'm so challenged that there's a number of our missionaries, they have Bible colleges that we support them. They have a Bible college that sends missionaries out around the world from there. That the fruit is being multiplied and multiplied as you get a chance to labor and give and pray with our missionaries. A number of our missionaries, they're training the next pastors of their churches so they can go start another church. Or they're training pastors to start churches all around them. We got a chance to visit Brother Ramos a couple of times in San Luis Potosi. They've, by the grace of God, been able to start a church in every city and every borough. I don't remember if I'm saying that right, in their state. Started a church, and we got a chance to go and visit church after church after church. They've had a chance to partner with, support that church, and send a pastor in that area. Praying for spiritual growth, that God would raise up the next generation of leaders around the world. And then lastly, and there's many other areas you can pray, but lastly, pray for finances for our missionaries. Pray for their financial needs. They are going out by faith that we say we're going to support them when they go out. Can you imagine that? Taking your family, quitting your job. The last missionary we had this month, they're going to a closed country in Asia. He'll give you the testimony, had a great job. Huge job offer, quit his job, taking his family to go to Asia and to go and help to start a church there. By the support of local New Testament churches that we say we're going to support them. We better pray for their financial needs, that God would provide for the needs that they have for their families. Because if we say we're going to support this missionary, we're going to support that missionary family. Amen? We're not going to drop a missionary by support, no matter what we have to do. We will continue to support that missionary as long as they are faithful to preaching the gospel and faithful to doing the work of God. Sometimes churches drop support for our missionaries. They go on the field with this much support, and then it drops, and they have to come back to raise more support to have the needs met for their family. Sometimes the value of the dollar changes, and the support they got used to be this much, the same amount of money is coming in there our way, now it's not worth as much coming to them. Pray for our missionaries, for their finances, for their family and personal needs. They have needs just like you and I have, don't they? For food and clothes and shelter, to keep the lights on. Many of our missionaries, we support them, and with that support, they support the ministries as well through the financial support we give to them. Pray for their church and ministry needs as well. In conclusion, church, when our missionaries say pray for us, they really mean it. They need our prayers. It's not like, well, when I get around to it, we have partnered with them. We have committed that we will pray, that we will give when we send them out. We made a commitment to them. We better commit to give as well as to pray for them. It's our responsibility. Praying for missions makes a difference. First of all, praying for missions makes a difference in our hearts, first of all, I believe. Right? When you pray, it does a work in our hearts. And I may not go to visit many of the missionaries. I'd love to. But I think, Lord, if you'd provide, I'd love to visit all of our missionaries on the mission field. That would be incredible. May not get to go and see them personally. And even if I did, I can't speak the language anyway except for a few of them. Pray that God would work on your heart when you pray for missions. Pray that God would change your heart, that maybe God would call you in the area of missions, that maybe God would call you to go to the mission field, that God would call you and command you to give to missions work. Praying for missions, it makes a difference. Praying for missions helps those on the mission field. Praying makes a difference, doesn't it? Prayer makes a difference. Not just a casual prayer, but the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. It makes a difference. You don't know what our missionaries are facing on a daily basis, but you can pray and understand that God knows and that God can supply their needs. And we better partner with them in prayer. Pray for those in the mission field. Praying for missions helps to get the gospel to reach more people for Christ. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Time is short. Many countries, the life expectancy is very short and very low. In many countries, their life expectancy is into their 30s and into their 40s. Many people don't live much longer after that because of the conditions where they live. While we wait, people are dying without the gospel. We better pray for the work of missions and that the gospel will go around the world. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's have a word of prayer.